Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your mercy have brought us through, and we're living this moment just because of you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this second Sunday of Easter, as we can still sing and believe that because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And that we can still say, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. And that he walks with us and that he talks with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord God, as we've gathered here and gathered online, speak now because your children are listening. Speak, God, for we need to hear a word from you. Speak, God, for the earth shakes, Lord God, the earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes and volcanoes and hurricanes. Lord God, speak now. Speak to our hearts, God. Do not leave us or forsake us, Lord God. We are depending on you. Do not turn your back on your handiwork, Lord God. Remember, God, that you have engraved us in the palm of your hands, and our walls are ever before you. Speak, God. And as you showed up for Thomas, Lord Jesus, Lord God, show up for us. It is in Jesus' name that we do pray and believe. And Lord God, take me and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord God. For you are our Savior and our Lord. You are our refuge, you are our Redeemer. Lord God, you're everything good that we need. In Christ's name, amen. So, friends, today my sermon comes from, as I was thinking about it, many of you know about this movie, but my sermon title is Two Key Doubt Busters. They're Two Key Doubt Busters. You know that movie that says, what you need is a Ghostbuster. The people were afraid of ghosts, right? They're afraid of seeing ghosts in the house, and that movie says they're afraid of seeing ghosts in the house, and they would need a Ghostbuster. You know what a Ghostbuster does? Got rid of the ghost, right? And so there are two key doubt busters that we're going to speak of today. So let me begin. As you could see, I'll begin with a reflection. And we have heard the text read, and Thomas is going to answered and said to the Lord and my God. That's after Thomas' doubt was busted. Amen. And so I'll begin with this reflection. The power of Christ's resurrection bursts through obstacles, the writer says. Tim Keller tells the following story about the power of Christ's resurrection. A minister was in Italy, and there he saw the grave of a man who had died centuries before, who was an unbeliever and completely against Christianity, but a little afraid of it too. So the man had a huge stone slab put over his grave so that he would not have to be raised from the dead in case there is a resurrection from the dead. He was underestimating God, isn't he? He had insignias put all over the slab saying, I do not want to be raised from the dead. I don't believe it, says he. Evidently, when he was buried, an acorn must have fallen into the grave. So 100 years later, the acorn had grown up through the grave and split the slab. It was now a tall, towering oak tree. And the minister looked at it and asked, if an acorn, which has power of biological life in it, can split a slab of that magnitude, what can an acorn of God's resurrection power do in a person's life. One little acorn can split a slab. What can an acorn of God's resurrection power do to a person's life? And a comment about that I will tell you later. Again, my sermon title today is The Two Key Doubt Busters, and these are faith and hope. Susan, next slide. Faith and hope. Right? Faith and hope. Faith is the complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Let me read it. Faith is a complete trust and confidence in someone or something. And hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. I'll say that again. Faith is a complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. It is said that faith is a noun, but hope is a noun and a verb. Faith is the noun. You know what a noun is, folks who are in school? A noun, right? It's a noun, doesn't do much, it's a noun. But hope is a noun and a verb. Amen? And therefore, faith and hope are defined in the dictionary as follows. Faith is confidence or trust, right, in a person or a thing or a belief, not based on proof. It's not based on proof. And hope is an optimistic attitude of mind based on expectation or desire. So faith is not based on proof. Amen? This is going to be Thomas's moment. Faith says it's now, and hope says in the future it could happen. Faith says now, but hope says in the future it can happen. Hope says, I believe it could happen, right? I believe this thing can happen. We need hope and faith. We can look at hope like a stepping stone in an elementary school, and pure faith as a graduate school tests passed. So we need both hope and faith, faith and hope to live. And so therefore, one writer talks about doubt busters, says doubt busters is perfect for those whose faith is being crippled by nagging doubts. For it gives plain yet full answers to perplexing Bible questions. Doubt busters, that thing that will bust that doubt that is nagging at your soul. You know, friends, we talk about Thomas, and we are more like Thomas. You know, Thomas was called twin, Didymus, which means twin. And Thomas is more our twin, right, as human beings. We read in the Bible, we heard the scripture read, it says, we know what happened when the evening came. Jesus had been resurrected, and as I said last time, none of the men were at the tomb except for John. But Jesus knew that they were suffering from fear. And fear will let you doubt, won't it? Fear of whatever it may be will let you begin to doubt God or to doubt your belief. Books, televisions, things we read and things like that can make us doubt. So the Bible tells us that when the first day of the week, the doors were open and the doors were locked. And Jesus showed up because Jesus knew that those disciples were crippled with fear and their faith was being peeled away bit by bit. Slowly, because they knew that the tomb was empty, but they didn't know where Jesus was. And slowly but surely, have you ever, friends, not have any hope? Have you ever been fearful or doubtful about something? And then the Bible tells us that Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, peace be with you. And after he said that, he showed them his hands and his feet. He shows them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent you, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and he gave them the Holy Spirit. That was the first moment that their hope was restored. Right? The Holy Spirit is a hope giver. Jesus came into one. The moment Jesus came to the door, that first area of doubt was busted. Hope. Because he showed them his hands. And then he showed them his side. And they realized that he was the Messiah. He was the one. And then he said, "Peace be with you." And then he breathed on them. They were going to be the first ones to get the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Because we know the Spirit of God hovered in the Old Testament. But they would be the first group. Because they would have to go forth and do what? Start the early church. And then it says, if you forgive sins of any, they will be forgiven. And so those men were ready. They didn't know what they were going to face, but their hope was restored. There are many times, friends, in our lives, or in my life, speak of myself, when one is going to do something or take on something major, and one does not know how it's going to end, but being able to read God's word and to pray to God brings hope. And I do believe folks who don't have hope is because they don't know where to turn. Right? And we who are Christian believers are called to be what? To be those doubt busters. Those who will speak to them about what God has done for us, what the Lord has done in our lives, begin to witness and become the evangelist that could turn people's doubt into hope. Because if we are believers and we have hope that Jesus will take care of it, that Jesus will take care of us, we then have to be the ones who now go forth and to speak a word of hope to somebody who's hopeless. Amen? It's up to us now, friends, because Jesus is not walking the earth anymore. And we know that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are the ones. But Thomas was out there. Thomas is like many people out there now, who even though they may hear about Jesus, they still doubt. Right? And there's work for us to do, work for us believers today to do. We are the ones who have to get out of our closed up buildings. Now that we could get outside and find things to do on the outside and evangelize, really evangelize. Just don't speak evangelism, but do it. And go forth and begin to tell people hope. Because there are people like Thomas on the outside. There are people like Thomas in the church. There are people who come to church and they come and they hear the song sings. Has sung and the scriptures read, and they're suffering from deep doubt. Like Thomas. We're more like Thomas, because we all have moments of doubt and fear. But hear what Thomas said, Thomas who was called the twin, my twin, your twin, because if truth be told, I know there are people going to tell us that they never doubt God and they never this. Don't believe them. It's not true. God knows. We all have moments of, God, why not? God, is this going to happen? We all have it. It's okay. God knows. You don't have to be so brave to us. We're not impressed. We're human beings. We're all in it together. But Thomas, who was called the twins, one of the 12, was not with them. So the disciples told him, he said, I've seen Jesus, so to speak. We have seen the Lord. And guess what Thomas says? Thomas says, unless I see the mark of his nails and his hands and I could put my finger in his side, I will not believe. There are people that you live with in your homes, on your job, in your church, who you have told over and over, Jesus is Lord. Yes, he's risen from the dead. And like Thomas, they will say, unless I see him for myself, And I think why there's so much doubt sometimes in the church or in our culture is because the people are seeking a relationship with Jesus Christ. They do not have a relationship. We should be praying for people to get a relationship with Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit to touch them. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter what we tell them, will not change them. We have to get on our knees because they're like Thomas. Unless I get my own relationship with Jesus Christ, unless he touches me, unless I see something in my life, they are yearning and starving to be touched by Jesus. Yearning and starving. I truly believe that. We have experienced it, and we have to find ways for them to experience. Because many of us are like Thomas. Unless I see it, unless Jesus talks to me, unless Jesus changes my life, and unless Jesus changes my circumstance, they're really yearning for Jesus to change their life. And doubt has taken over. And even when you tell them, let go and let God. You know, we who are Christian believers, we have all these cliche and things that we could say that doesn't even pierce the hearts of non-believers. We have to pray hard for them. And Jesus knew this. So Jesus turned up for Thomas. He turned up for Thomas and he said, Thomas, here I am. He came in again. Peace be with you, Thomas. Here I am. And it says, although the doors were shut, Jesus came in and he spoke with Thomas. And he said to Thomas, put your finger here. That is Thomas' moment with Jesus. Can you remember, friends, when you connected with Jesus? You don't have to tell me now. Can you take a moment and ponder? Because we all have our own unique moment that we connected with Jesus. Some people connect at a young age, you know. There's some young kids who connect with Jesus, knowing he's their Lord and Savior. They're justified by faith. Right? It's called justification. They know when they say yes to Jesus, and they know it in their hearts, and you see them from 10 and 12 being preachers or evangelists. They know, you speak to some young people, and they know that Jesus is Lord. Some of us get it older. Some gets it later. And some folks are still waiting. But Thomas is going to get it. At this moment, Jesus tells Thomas, put your finger in my side and your hands in my, your finger here in my hands. Reach out and put your hand in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And you know what was beautiful about that? Jesus did not talk badly to Thomas. He did not speak condescendingly with him. He didn't tell him, talk him down. He didn't let him feel that he's unchristian. Right? He didn't let him feel that, well, you don't know the word like I don't, and I've got a whole bunch of faith and you don't have any faith. Sometimes we do that with folks. We're so Christian, and we act so like we're walking on air, right? Until something happens to us. Jesus did not let Thomas feel that way because he knew. And then Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. You see, when Jesus told Thomas to put his finger in, Thomas' hope came back. That was the beginning of Thomas's restoration. His hope came back. And then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. That was the restoration of Thomas's faith. And then Jesus would make the statement, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now, friends, we have not seen, but we have the book. I know sometimes we think it's about us. We have not seen, but we have the book called the Bible. That's why we believe. Thomas did not have a book called the Bible, friends. There was nothing written for Thomas because Jesus was the living word and it was not written down. And when we ponder about this text, think about it, how many of us, if we didn't have the Bible telling us this story, if we would have believed. Somebody just came up and said to us, you know, there's a man who was crucified and he came back from the thing and we didn't have. How many of us would believe? Thomas did not have a Bible. But we have the book. And we could hear the preached word. And we could read it for ourselves. And yet there are many who still don't believe. But friends, the work is up to us. Up to us who are Christian believers. To be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in highways and byways, in our homes, and wherever we can. To tell people that Jesus lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. The work is up to us now. Because remember what Thomas did. Thomas was going to become a great, great disciple of Jesus Christ. Thomas, who had been a doubter. I believe Thomas would go overseas. I believe Thomas went to India. Southern India, I believe. I believe Thomas, that's where Thomas went. I can never remember if Thomas or James, but I believe it's Thomas. To spread the gospel. Because his hope and his faith was restored. God will always use, you see who Jesus used. He have used a doubter. He used Peter who denied him. God will use imperfect people to do perfect things in his name. Amen. Jesus did not throw Thomas away. He saw Thomas's need to serve him. And so, that story I read to you earlier, the writer says, and when the minister asked the question, the minister looked at it and he asked the question about the acorn. The writer of this reflection says, the minute you decide to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. It is the power of the resurrection, the same thing that raised Jesus from the dead. Think of the things you see as immovable slabs in your life, your bitterness, your insecurity, your fears, your self-doubts. Those things can be split and rolled off. The more you know him, the more you grow into the power of the resurrection. So the writer says the power of the resurrection can take our doubts. He will take our bitterness. He'll take our insecurity. He will take our fears. And it will take our self-doubts. And those things will be split and rolled off our backs and out of our lives. And the more you know him, the more you will grow into the power of the resurrection. Friends, we who are believers in Jesus Christ, yes, we may have moments of fear and doubt, moments where we struggle. But when we call on Jesus, he's willing and able to walk into our lives like he walked into that room by his Holy Spirit and says, peace be with you. And I heard Nancy playing this morning, my hope is built on nothing else. My hope is built on, our hope can only be built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. Only on his blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus' name alone will take away doubt and fear. Because on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All of the ground, all of what we have attained, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. And the writer says, in every rough and stormy gale, whatever we face, every rough and stormy gale, unemployment, sickness, divorce, whatever it may be, addiction, in every rough and stormy gale, my anchor, your anchor must hold, and it must hold, right, within the veil. And what is within the veil? The solid rock of Jesus Christ. When all around my soul gives way, when all my soul gives way because of trouble and problems, when it all gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. He is our hope and stay. And it says, not earth or hell my soul can move. I rest upon unchanging love. I trust his righteous character, his counsel, promise, and his power. When he shall come with trumpet sound, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Nobody can take care of you like Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody can restore your hope. Nobody can restore your faith. Nobody but Jesus. And we see that in this story today. Nobody. Nobody, no pastor, nobody in this church but Jesus. Only Jesus can restore your faith, can turn your life around. When things go bad, when we've lost our jobs, when we get a bad report from the doctor, when we go and we're worried about what we're going to get and what we're going to face, only Jesus can take care of it and restore our hope and faith. And so friends online, those here, I could only give you one thing. As Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. I give you Jesus, Savior of the whole world. Amen.
Amen.